Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am so thrilled because today we have with us Alka Dhillon. Alka, often referred to as a spiritual CEO, is an award-winning leader who is innovating the business world and empowering all of those she meets. Alka is the founder and CEO of Technolink, Inc. She is also a conscious leadership expert, trailblazing and redefining what it means to be a successful leader as she shares her powerful message and tools with the world. Her new number one bestseller is The Om Factor, A Woman's Spiritual Guide to Leadership, and it went bestseller in 4 countries. Alka, thank you so much for joining us with your busy, busy schedule with this wonderful book, just absolutely going all over the world like crazy. And I also want to thank you so much for being here to share your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me, Vicki. It's a joy to be here with you.
Well, for those that have not had the pleasure of knowing you yet or knowing about you, could you share with us a little bit about your history and how you came to your passion and purpose in life?
Oh, well. So a little bit about me. I am a first-generation Indian American, and my parents are, you know, originally from India, and they came here and in the 1960s. And I think it's important to share that, to kind of show how that has actually shaped me, because it made me, my entire outlook on life, my work ethic, everything was based around the premise of, my gosh, you know, nothing comes easily. Nothing is just given to you. You have to work very, very hard to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve, and whether you be a woman, man, or whomever, but women especially have to work extra hard. And I just never took anything for granted. So I grew up in Mount Vernon, which is right off the Potomac River in Alexandria, Virginia. And so I'm a local outside of D.C. girl, Virginia person. I went to school at University of Virginia and then, you know, started to get into the workforce. And I went right into very different things, but it was surrounded into sales and marketing. And I was selling, you know, nobody's going to believe this, but I was selling heart pumps for Baxter Healthcare. And it was great. It was selling products and things. And I say this to say that you never know where you're going to end up, because you start doing something and then here I am, I have an IT services company where we are doing services and it's people and their lives and, you know, doing projects for the federal government and the commercial world, and that's nothing where I started. So I say this to say that wherever we go, just know that you are where you are supposed to be at that right place, at that right time, at that right moment. It's really important to know that, because a lot of times you'll feel like this is my path forward, this is what I'm doing, and that has never been the case for me. Every path I've gone on has been different, and it never flowed from the path that was before it, ever. And so, but the thing that has helped me that I want to share with all the listeners is that what I found is that when I would start to really be in that present moment, and we'll talk about that in a minute, what that means, because people use that term a lot, but when you're really there and you're not thinking about what happened 5 minutes ago or what's going to happen 10 minutes later, you then start to co-create that which is about to happen. So you're present for that. And I started to notice patterns. I started to notice patterns with whom I met and then where I ended up. And those people were a part of that. And they had nothing to do with it in my mind at that time, but I paid attention. And I started connecting dots, and I started to see that everything did happen for a reason, and I needed to pay attention to that. And started to see that those people were almost directly in line responsible for my next step. So when you're present for those connections, you then can really meet them from an authentic place. And so, you know how when you meet somebody and you're doing networking and you feel like there's an agenda, right? You feel like they're talking to you for a reason because they're looking around the room at the next person that they're going to talk with, and they're barely focusing on what it is that you're saying. And I think we're all guilty of that at times. And what happens is you miss out on that initial connection. And so I'm answering your question in a very long way, but it has brought me to where I am. I've very much been present for all those connections, and that has kind of brought me to where I am, to where we have a very successful IT firm here in Washington, D.C., and we're a global provider of IT and management consulting services. And I realized that I was incorporating so many things that I had learned along the way in my life, whether it be ancient teachings from India or mindfulness or meditation and these things. I was using them in the moment. And there were so many books out there and so many people that were teaching how to do meditation, fantastic, when you get home. But what do I do when I'm hemorrhaging here at work and there's a negotiation that's not going well, or I'm fighting with a coworker, or somebody's trying to sabotage my work, or whatever it is, in whatever workplace you have. It doesn't have to be in corporate America. And so I wanted to get all those things together and share them with everyone that, you know, you can actually use these techniques in the moment, and it will change the landscape of that which is about to come and that which is happening at that time. And so that's kind of where the Om Factor was birthed. And the Om Factor comes from the whole premise of that we all have an Om Factor, and it's about raising it and raising that vibration. And the word Om is there because we all, whether we know it or not, when we are connected with our highest self, and a lot of us need some help on how to get there, it's not hard at all, and we can go through that in this conversation, you will then, as I said before, start to co-create with what's around you. And that's where success comes, and individualized success.
That is so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. I had a chance to meet Maribel, who has done a whole lot of work with Google and bringing mindfulness to a technology environment. And I was just wondering, how were you able to incorporate that? Because a lot of times we don't connect a mindfulness and being in the place of the moment with technology environments.
No, we don't. We don't, because we're in a world where everything is like this. It's like faster, quicker, better. We don't have time. We're emailing, we're texting. And then you have mindfulness and you just think everything slows down. How can that be possible? How can productivity be raised in that kind of a capacity when you're slowing down? And that, I think, is the misnomer. With mindfulness, it's not about slowing down. It is about being and embracing that present moment. And now's a good time to talk about that. And I did allude to it when I was saying you don't think about what was happening 5 minutes ago. You don't think about what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. That does not mean you don't plan. That does not mean you don't strategize. But when it comes time, when you get out of the huddle and execute that plan, so in your day-to-day life, you're not second-guessing it. You are going forward, and you are able to not only navigate, you're able to course correct because you are mindful. So when you use these practices that I've shared, that I've learned throughout my life, some from my parents, some from my teachers, and some from my own experience. There's a lot of ancient wisdom in here. And when you use those things, what those tools do is they bring you to that present moment when it's so hard to connect. And, not but, not or, and you can do everything that you need to do as it needs to be done, at the pace it needs to be done. But what happens is, when we sit in silence, even for what I talk about in the book, 2 minutes, and you can be at your desk or in the morning or whenever, in the bathroom, it does not matter, just don't do it driving. But when you do that and you sit for 2 minutes, I don't care if it's at your chair, whatever, and close your eyes, you can set your iPhone for the 2 minutes, and you just simply observe your breath. What you do is you just observe the breath. So that means you don't have to repeat a mantra if you don't want to. You don't have to count your inhalations and exhalations. You don't have to do anything. It's just being and simply observing that breath. And what happens is you then, without judging it, by the way, because people start to say, oh, am I breathing enough and all of this, right? So you're just being with that breath and you're observing it as if you were a witness. What happens is you then connect with your higher self and connect with that which is the creator of everything that's about to happen. So this is nothing religious. It doesn't matter what your belief system is or whatever that may be, but everything that is going to happen is going to start from within you, and you must connect with that. So after that 2 minutes is over and your timer goes off and you get up and go about your day, everyone you meet, every single person you meet, even that challenging coworker or that awful relationship that you're in or whatever it is, will be met with that silence and that stillness. So you are still acting, but your being is still. So that anxiety is not there. That overwhelm feeling goes down. And that is where we can be present and respond and not react to situations.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so thrilled that you incorporated this amazing wisdom that we all need more than probably ever before in the world in which we live now. Tell me a little bit about how you came to write the book.
How I came to write the book is that I was that person that was hemorrhaging. I was that person that was feeling overwhelmed, anxious, indecisive. I take 7 emotions that we all feel, anger and resentment. I feel all of these things, and we all feel all of these things, and I just never knew what to do with them. I mean, your emotions really can just transform who you are. And people talk about losing their center and losing balance. Forget about even that. You can't even think about balance because you're just trying to figure out how to breathe. You sometimes feel when you're in those kinds of stressful situations, you can't even breathe properly, right? So I started to realize that I was doing certain things in those moments, and they came from what I was taught, and I realized that they worked. Even when I was on the phone doing a deal or whatever it was or in a conversation, I was able to bring myself back, and things started to shift. And I was just looking with wonder, how the heck did that happen? This person was screaming at me, and now we're talking. How did that happen? So I think Max Planck is the physicist that said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? So I started through those practices that I was doing. And by the way, I've given things in here that nobody can tell that you're doing them. Then it gets kind of weird at that point for people you feel uncomfortable. But you're doing these things while you're talking, and you're able to do them. And we can even go through some things if we have time, or you can read them in the book. I started to see that I was doing those things, and I was able to change and shift what was happening and thereby shift the outcome. So I share this with people. This really works. And I was doing it over and over and over again, depending on the emotion. And so I'll give tools to use, and I'll even give certain mantras, which is a Sanskrit word for affirmation, and give the English affirmation as well. And those were chosen for their vibrational qualities that they were able to transform each particular situation. So they were scientifically chosen for each emotion because they connect with different parts of your brain. They connect with different parts of your soul, different parts of your being at different times, because anger is a very different emotion than indecisiveness. Indecisiveness is a very different emotion than feeling overwhelmed, right? So I had to tap into those things, and I wanted to share that, frankly, with everybody, and it helped.
Oh, that is so powerful, really powerful. So why don't you share with us one or two of these tools that people could start using right away?
Fantastic. I would love to. So there's one that I love. I use all of these, but one that I really love, because you can do it even if you're on the phone, like I'm holding the handset and I'm going to do this with my other hand, and your hand can be under the desk. I mean, if the person's not in front of you, it doesn't really matter where your hands are, but if, you know, it's called the Sat Nam meditation, Satnam meditation. It's an active meditation. So what you do is you take one of your hands or both, whatever you have free, and when you're in a situation where you want to feel less overwhelmed, more present in that moment, you take your thumb finger and touch it to your index finger and say the sound sa, and you can say it silently or out loud, depending on, you know, again, if somebody's around, you don't want to do that out loud. So sa with the thumb and index finger. The sound tha, which is T-A, with the middle finger and thumb, touching those two. Then you move to na, N-A, which is thumb and ring finger. And then finally with ma, M-A, with thumb and pinky. So you're going sa, tha, na, ma. Sa, tha, na, ma. At the ends of our fingertips, and I'm doing it as I'm talking with you, are neurotransmitters that send signals to our brain to slow down the nervous system, to come more acutely present, have much more clarity. And when you're touching these points, as I'm still doing as I'm talking with you, it brings you more into that present moment. It's extremely powerful. This meditation has been done by Alzheimer patients to increase their mental acuity, and Harvard Business Review actually has spoken about this very much as of late, and even over the past few years, about how effective this is with Alzheimer patients, because they found that it was actually increasing the distance and length of the telomeres, which actually increases, you know, your lifespan. So it's really fascinating. I write all about that in the book. But you just keep doing that, and you will start to see yourself come and be more in that moment and have much more mental acuity. And I'm doing it still.
I love it.
As I'm talking.
So I wanted to ask you, when you maybe have challenges, as we all do, and maybe you don't because you have all of these fabulous tools, but I know I find sometimes I have challenges with creativity. And if you get into a place where you feel kind of blocked, what do you do in order to overcome that and move yourself into a more creative space?
So I have daily challenges that I'm definitely not void of those, but so I want to definitely state that I am a human being like everyone else, but, you know, I use these tools to try to mitigate the lengths of that disarray or that feeling of dis-ease inside. So what I do, because, you know, whether you're working, that's a creative process with whatever you do. I don't care if you're in the restaurant business. I don't care if you're working in corporate America. I don't care if you're teaching. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mother or father. Whatever it is you're doing, you're working, and you're doing something with the majority of your day. And that's creative, or, you know, writing this book was a very creative process. I cannot tell you how many times I felt blocked. And what I do is I will use some specific tools, like the Sat Nam meditation also is great because, you know, again, all creativity is harnessed within the present moment. So anything you can do to bring yourself to that present moment is great. So the Sat Nam meditation definitely works. Some breathing exercises that really are great. You can, you know, just sit, and I talk about the pranayama breathing, which is what we call the alternate nostril breathing. You can do that one, and that's really great. It's hard to describe when you're on a phone, but I definitely have images here in the book and can teach you how to do that. That immediately accesses that space of creativity because it immediately connects you, and that's really powerful. Another thing is just the deep breathing. You can breathe in for 4 counts, hold for 8 counts, and then exhale for a minimum of 4 counts, again, bringing you into the present moment. But my absolute favorite, if I can take those 2 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, and do what we call conventional meditation, that is what does it. Because you're immediately accessing that space within you, your higher self, which is where creativity is birthed, and you will connect. So what happens is after you do that, you'll get up. Maybe it doesn't happen immediately, but you'll start to pay attention more. And the things, like in writing, let's say, the things that I didn't even think I was going to write about, I'm more open to, and I start writing about, or some thought occurs to me, and you have to be open to going down that path. And that's where I think we as human beings get scared of, because we doubt ourselves so much. We doubt that, oh, if we deviate from this path, this is what we said we were going to do. If we do something different, then it's going to go out baby with the bathwater. That's not the case. There are infinite possibilities, infinite infinite possibilities. And when we open ourselves to that, we access that creativity, and that's how it happens. So I would say, you know, do either active meditations, breathing, or just sit in silence, and it will happen.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, Alka, because I know when I was younger and for many, many years in business, if I came up against a block, I used to try to throw more energy at it. I thought if I worked harder at it, it would resolve itself. And I mean, it eventually did, you know, throwing energy and effort at it. But I found in more recent years, I tend to step away from it and allow that open space within to bring whatever creative messages, even if I'm on a tight deadline. I discipline myself to do that now. And I wish so much I had learned that earlier, because it is so much more effective.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you shared that, because you've gone through it yourself. And, you know, you're right. You can power through and it will work out. But by way of what? Right? By way of what on your health? By way what of stress? By way what of how your personal relationships happen? Because you're not going to be in a great state of mind. You're not going to be, you know, so together, and that's going to affect your other relationships. It becomes a domino effect. So it's by way of at what cost. So I'm so glad you shared that you too stepped away and you noticed it's only a few minutes, but it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it does. There's no question. So I'm thrilled that you covered that. It reminded me of that for myself, and it's been so, so powerful. I was just wondering, because you live in a highly technical world, and yet you've done amazing things creatively, not only in that world, but also that you speak to in the wonderful bestseller you just wrote. So how are you able to balance those two? And what kind of physical writing tools, you know, if you're looking at the physical side of things and the discipline side of things that writing takes, what kind of tools have you used to be able to make that happen for you?
Tools in terms of, like, actually, how do I write? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, how do you write from a technical standpoint? Are there favorite tools that you use, and how you incorporate that into that spiritual, intuitive place? Because
that's kind of a
physical basis.
Right, absolutely. So for me, my best thought, I think, come to me directly after meditation, right before I go to bed, just as I wake up. Sometimes if I wake up in the middle of the night, because I'll write down a dream I have and things like that, I'm constantly writing, and I write either, I take some notes on my phone when these things happen, because I, you know, and Arianna Huffington would kill me because I have my phone on my nightstand, because she's all about putting it outside. I can't do that, because I just take a quick note or I say something, or I have a pen and paper by my nightstand or where I sit and do meditation or wherever it is, or throughout the day I'll, you know, again, take notes on my phone. And then I take all those notes and I try to draw parallels at that point of where these themes are connected. Most of the time they're connected, sometimes they're not, and I develop that pattern, and then I realize, okay, this is the creative message that's flowing down through me. And here's the other thing I want to share before I go into the physical aspect of it, because I do type it on my laptop then. I'm a laptop writer, and when you get thoughts and they come through, and this goes into that self-doubt, if you are a writer, don't dismiss those thoughts and think, oh, they have no value, or, oh, that wasn't what I thought I was going to write about. They're coming to you from the universe, and they're flowing down through you, and they are meant to be looked at and noticed. Now, you may not end up there, but you must go via that path, because that is what's going to get you to eventually where you end up. So that's what's worked for me. I pay attention. I pay attention to what is coming to me in my mind, and then I flesh those out, and I do a lot of that. Then I take those notes, and I flesh them out on my laptop a lot, and then I come up with, that's how the chapters then flow, and I cannot tell you how many chapters I've thrown out and how many things I've just said, no, I'm not feeling it, and I kind of go from there. But I love to write in particular spaces. I like to, you know, the Barnes & Noble here in McLean, Virginia, I had a specific table where I would sit and write. And what happens is, when you kind of have a dedicated place that you like to go to, even if it's not in your home, your brain and body and soul, mind, spirit connect with that space, and you'd be surprised that I'd find, I don't know if all the listeners or you have found, that when you kind of go back to a similar space, even though you're in a different place, it accesses that creativity because you have that tactile, okay, this is the table, this is the chair, this is my laptop. I'm in this space and these surroundings that feel comfortable. So I'm very big on that, on trying to keep it in places. Now, it might not be the same space, but I have a few spaces that I go to. It might not just be one dedicated one, but I wrote a lot of this book. The Om Factor was written a lot at Miraval in Tucson, Arizona, where I had such profound experiences that I share in this book. Amazing place to go to. A lot of corporations go there for team building, but there is a lot of a personal journey that has come for me there. I wrote a lot of the book there, and I wrote a lot in Barnes & Noble at this table all the way at the back, and it was a very specific round table that I sat at. So that's what I'd like to share.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I've had a business experience and a highly spiritual experience at that same resort with Marsha Goldsmith, and that's where I met Miraval with a small group of people there, and it's extraordinary. It's beyond how you can possibly explain it till someone should experience it. So tell me, what do you hope your readers will take away from the book?
I hope my readers would take away two things, actually, maybe a lot more, but two especially. One, truly, truly believe that you are exactly where you should be at any given moment, no matter how challenging that situation is, no matter how much it's pulling on you, no matter how painful it is, how devastating it is, you are meant to be in that moment. That is very, very important. The second thing is, meditate. Please, please meditate. Please sit, and we call it meditation, mindfulness, I don't care what you call it. Please sit for even 2 minutes consistently. A lot of people have come to me, Alka, I did 30 minutes this week. I sat for 30 minutes, and it was great. And my first thing to them that I say is, that's fantastic. Did you do it yesterday, or are you going to do it tomorrow, right? There's scientific proof that consistency with meditation is the formula. 2 minutes a day, every day, versus 30 minutes or 45 minutes once a week, 2 minutes a day wins every time. Because you are accessing, it's how many times you access the point. It is the consistency, not the duration.
Again, some really powerful advice. Now, if we were to take this amazing book and really spread it across the world, what kind of impact would you like to see the book have on the world?
Oh, my goodness. You know, thank goodness that's happening. It's that, you know, when one person gets a hold of it and whatever they take from it, whether it be one thing, 50 things, two things, whatever it is, that you share it. And if something has touched you, any lesson in here or anything that you can relate to, or if it brings you back, like Vicki, you were saying, it, you know, what you just said reminded me of something and you shared it with all the listeners right now. You have touched millions of lives just by you saying that, because there are people listening that are going to share what you just said with somebody else. And that's my intense desire with this book, that you please share anything that comes to you. It doesn't have to be my words or my teachings. It's the effect that it has on you that I'd like you to share. If you'd like to share the teachings, fantastic. But even if it sparks something in you and it becomes yours, please share it, because that's how we can co-create and raise our collective vibration globally.
That is so beautiful, and I think it's so important. My personal feeling, and, you know, I spend a lot of my life now encouraging writers to get their work out through our magazines, radio shows, and so forth, and I think it is so, so important that people tell their story, not just for them and their story, which is really important, but a friend of mine told me that if you do not express the stories and stories that are in you, it leaves a hole in the world, because no one can express their story or a story like you can express yours. It's very individual, and it leaves a hole in the world that cannot be filled by anyone else. And I thought that that was so, so important to look at writing that way, and not just the ability to write or the fabulous things that happen personally, but also what it does for the world. And if you don't write, what it does for the world. Which is leave a hole in
it. I love that. I love what you just said. I had an incredible visual of, you know, this gaping hole in the universe and just it being a vortex of just everything being sucked into nothing. And that is so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. That was very powerful.
Yeah, we're working on a journal for next year called Are You the Missing Piece? And I like to think of it almost like a jigsaw puzzle. And in order for it to be total and complete, every piece has to be there. And if there's one missing, it is an incomplete picture. And so you have just inspired me so much with our time together. I'm sure you have all of the listeners, and I could go on talking with you for the rest of the evening.
Same here, Vicki.
But I would love it, because our time is running to a close, if you could let us know how those who are listening could connect with you. Is there a place on the web where you have more information?
Absolutely. I'm very active on social media as well. But first, you could start with my website. It's www.alkadhillon.com. That's alkadhillon.com. You can connect with me on Twitter at The Spiritual CEO, on Instagram at The Spiritual CEO, and on Facebook at Alka Dhillon. And that's Alkadhillon. I'm also on LinkedIn, and I'm very personally active on there as well. And I would love to connect with anyone. And you can get the book on anywhere books are sold. You can go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Indie Books, wherever, and get it.
Wonderful. And I want to also, one more time, repeat the name of this amazing book that has so much more. We just scratched the surface with the time we had today to talk about some of the amazing things you will find in the book. It's called The Om Factor, A Woman's Spiritual Guide to Leadership by the wonderful Alka Dhillon. Alka, thank you so much for being here. It's been such a pleasure.
Such a pleasure for me as well, Vicki. Thank you so much for having me.
And for all of you out there that would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.